Put, put, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com.
We got an awful lot of reaction rolling in this morning to my inquiry about the creepy, cringy main character energy in songs. She's Like the Wind, Patrick Swayze, Blondie, One Way or Another, real stalker energy in that one, says Chris in the 414. We mentioned Stacey's mom. Excitable Boy. I'm not familiar with Excitable Boy, but I think I got the gist of it just from the title. Thanks, Earn King. Jason Wilde joining us now on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. John weighing in saying Phil Collins' In the Air Tonight is also pretty creepy. Jason, is there a song that comes to mind for you that has a creepy main character energy?
Yes, without a doubt, but I'm offended by the In the Air Tonight one. That's a great song. Oh, unbelievably.
There's a myth
good.
About that song, though, Jason.
What was the myth?
The myth was that he actually saw two kids drowning or something like that, and there was someone that just watched it all happen, and it turned out not to be true. Mm-hmm. You never heard that?
No.
Yeah.
Never heard that.
Yeah.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Oh, good one. That's a good one.
What's in this drink? What are we doing
all
here?
All right, Bill Cosby, calm down. John,
that's
what, also,
I mean,
yes.
I mean, literally, that's
yeah.
the line.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm saying the song needs to calm down. The Into the Night starts out, she's just 16 years old, but John reminding us of that one. We know that one, right? She's just 16 years old.
Jason, the creepiest is Stacy's mom. Remember that song?
Be careful. That's one of my favorite bands.
Is it really?
Fountains of Wayne. Yeah. The lead singer passed away in 2020 during the pandemic. But yeah, they were a great band.
Really?
I'm not here to judge anyone else, but I think it's probably fair that for some of the gentlemen on the panel, that there may have been during their high school years, a mom that might have caught their attention. I don't think there's anybody ever acts on that vibe, but in that song. But no, I'm going to defend my guys from Fountains of Wayne. I will say this, and I there was a band called Winger.
Oh yeah.
When I was a high schooler.
Yeah.
And I believe they sang a song, and the title of the song was She's Only 17.
Yep.
I mean,
we got
we
a lot
here?
Of people suggesting that one on the Carbless Talking text line this morning.
All right, transitioning Yikes. Over to football.
Yeah. He's only the sixth tight end.
That's where I was going, Jason. Was that fair? I didn't like George Kittle in front of him, but I anticipated that Loveland might be in front of him where he was right behind, and then Joshie gave me a look about Warren, the Colts guy from Penn State, who I thought's very good. Did you think the sixth spot was fair?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that if Tucker Kraft stays healthy last season and continues at the pace that he was on, that he's in a different spot? I do. Now, again, I don't know. You know, Jeremy Fowler does a great job with this list every year, and we are certainly thankful that he does this because it gives us material, much like I'm sure lots of people are thankful for the 20 most important Packers list. But I don't know, man. Like, Tucker Kraft was leading tight ends in receiving at the time of his injury. And as I continue to say, and as you so eloquently have and humbly have acknowledged, I mean, he does everything like you used to do. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much you might like some of these other guys, and look, he strikes me as as Kittle, right before Kittle really popped.
Yeah.
Right? And so I would predict once he gets his contract, and if he stays, and hopefully he does, stay healthy all season, that this list a year from now will have him in the top three and probably not three.
Yeah, I feel the same way, Jason. I feel like this is a fine starting point, but I would be shocked if this is where he ends up. I just feel like he's very motivated by the injury, getting back out there, how the team sort of fell short last year. So I would be shocked if he ends up being the sixth or worst tight end in the league by season's end.
And yeah, and look, he did tell us he thought he was the number one tight end in the league at the time of his injury. And to Jen's point, I think he's motivated and to show that. And now, you know, look, he strikes me as a bit of a throwback, again, kind of to your era, Chu.
Mm-hmm.
And while a lot of guys would roll their eyes at this kind of a list, again, I think it's important, by the way, that this isn't like Jeremy Fowler just throwing spaghetti on the wall. Like, he talks to all these executives and compiles this ranking. Like, it's not, now I don't know how many there are. I don't know who they are, obviously, but there's a legitimacy to this list that others that just sort of put it out there don't have. But I would guess that Tucker Kraft, knowing him to some degree the way I do, he would take this as a slap in the face and say, F these guys, I'm going to show them. I'll show them what the number one tight end in football looks like.
He should, because when you look at Bowers and McBride, I mean, tight ends, Jason, and we were talking about yesterday, tight ends lead the team in receiving when the team is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know McBride could step in and play the role. And he's a good tight end, but I don't know if he could play the role Kraft plays in Green Bay. You know,
what do you think Kraft, because one of the things that I noticed during the first half of last season, and I'm sure the five of us, talked about this at some point in the first half of the season, like, he spent a lot of time chipping and thumping on his way out.
Yeah.
To his pass patterns, right? If they used him, and I'm not saying they should, don't get me wrong, but if they used him like some of these other guys that line up, you know, detached from the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. that are basically oversized wide receivers, like, what could he do then statistically, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're getting far more opportunities if you don't have responsibilities at the line of scrimmage on your way out. And by the way, he also, I don't know what the snap counts for those other guys are. And again, the ones that you mentioned, like, I don't think they're blocking to the degree that he does. But, like, you're talking about a guy that plays, like, 85 to 90% of the snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't just some guy that, and look, I let's not forget, and God, we had so much fun, especially when this guy confronted me in the locker room about what you said and the fact that I laughed at it. But, like, JerMichael Finley, you know, he was a different type of tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, and again, we got ourselves into a little bit of hot water back then. But, like, he, you know, Rodgers told the story, I think it was on the show when we were doing it, about how, you know, he would ask JerMichael for every road trip and even for home games, because back then they stayed in the hotel the night before home games as well, that, look, come to my room, let's go over this stuff. And he did it for a little while, and then he stopped coming. And you know, I always look at him because of the injury and because of the way he approached it. Like, he was so gifted.
Yeah.
But, like, I always wondered if he did all the other stuff, what would his career look like? And if he'd obviously stayed healthy and not had the neck injury. The only question I have with Tucker Kraft is, if they took away some of his other responsibilities, how much more productive would he be? But that's not the guy he wants to be anyway.
No.
So I think he's going to be incredibly productive.
Well,
Jason,
it's such an advantage to have a tight end that can block, though. You can do a hell of a lot more, you know? And I think we've seen in this league, you have to be able to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Because running the ball helps the pass.
Keith Jackson.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting, and it's gotten lost just because of the player is, But Tucker Kraft, and I know the Packers don't use RAS, but had a 9.88. So he is amongst the most athletic elite tight ends that could possibly be. So I think he would just be fine. He'd just be good. He'd just be like Trey McBride if they threw him the ball 140 times. Like it's, but that's not what the Packers want, nor I don't think the way the league's going either.
No, it's more.
You think it's going? You think it's trending back the other way, Josh?
Yes. Yeah, I think, especially after the Jaguars drafted the Borkircher from Texas A&M, I believe, who's just a blocking tight end in the second round. Like, I think they want guys who can block, and then the pass catching is just going to be on top of it.
Well, to your point about his athleticism, and Jen knows this being around gymnasts too, to be able to do that kip up where he's laying flat on his back and then leaps to his feet in Detroit, that requires a level of athleticism that even the great Mark Chmura lacks.
I can curl my tongue.
I think I don't know what the Punnett square tells me about. I think it's 3 out of 4 people do that, though, if you do the Punnett square correctly.
Jason Wilde joining us on the Yingling hotline. That's my attempt to move on from that suggestion. This is the Josh Jacobs portion of the program, Jason. So two things. One, when are we going to get a resolution on the Josh Jacobs situation, the legal situation? And two, he was named the 74th best player in the NFL on the NFL top 100 ranking, a significant dip from where he was last year and the year before. In 2023, he was number 12. In 2025, he was number 33. There wasn't a significant change in production. We know he was dealing with injury, obviously, but does 74 seem fair for Josh Jacobs, who will once again, barring the legal stuff you're going to talk to me about, be the bell cow of this offense likely?
That was very smooth, barring the legal stuff that you're going to talk to me about. look, our guy, Vince Vitrano, you know, he called the Brown County District Attorney who told him that the case was still open, which I'm sure Vinny heard him say that and wanted to say back to him, yeah, no blank, blank. We want to know when it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Either,
and the next follow-up is
for nothing.
Why?
Yeah,
why is it still open?
Exactly.
What are we doing?
And again, as we've talked about before, I was actually, because of Vinny's call, I reached out to another one of my friends in the police department, and not the Howard, or not the, it's Hobart Police Department. And he said the same thing, like that it's just when it's gone on this long, like obviously this isn't like a cold case from like 1987. Like this is he was surprised that they have not reached a decision, and maybe they will in the coming days. But again, I applaud Vinny for making that call. I do not necessarily applaud the lack of a transparent answer that he received.
But Jason, the fact that there's no contingency plan, because the Packers know. I mean, their security staff is all ex-Green Bay cops and cops from the area, so they know. I mean, if there was like, I heard this, there's a little panic, well, we better think about you know, a running back to come in. There's none of that. So, Mike, which would point you in a direction of, yeah, maybe there's a disorderly conduct charge or something like that, but it won't be anything substantial.
Right. And again, we're all cautious about how we talk about this, and I'm not being dismissive of what he was alleged to have done. But the way the arc of this investigation is unusual, especially now as we've reached, you know, July 10th, and this happened over Memorial Day weekend. Now, yeah, look, as a player and as someone who seems to get, like, the ball handed to him and the first would-be tackler hitting him almost simultaneously, like, you know, I would really like to see this guy do what he's capable of when A, staying healthy, and B, getting better blocking in front of him. Like, his 1,300-yard season his first year, again, he had far more yards after contact than he had before. And, you know, he even knew the stat. I've talked about this before with you guys. Like, that Saquon Barkley had one fewer yard before contact in his 2,000-yard season than Josh Jacobs had total. Like, he was picking up 1,328 yards before he was touched. And I think Josh Jacobs was jealous of that. He did, you know, look, he and Brandon McManus both should have been shut down and put on 4 weeks of injured reserve. Like, the fact that he kept playing through it, admirable, but probably counterproductive. So I still think he's a really, really good player. Again, the off-the-field stuff notwithstanding, the level of respect that he has in that locker room is off the charts. He's one of their few guys that really can have that kind of countenance with his teammates. So all those things, if they can, and I keep going back to this, and you've heard Gabe talk about it, the idea of this year one approach to the offense, and then Joe Thomas having spent some time up there and kind of letting it slip about how they're getting back to the more of the outside zone and saying that Josh Jacobs could be productive in it. I think there's a really interesting debate to be had about the challenge for Matt LaFleur to do things that allow players to feel like they have a voice and have them feel comfortable, but also saying, no, this is really vital to what we do. So whether Josh Jacobs is much more comfortable with shotgun handoffs or duo blocking schemes shouldn't matter. Like, maybe you mix that in sometimes, but the bedrock of this offense, the reason why you would see guys running wide open so much when it first came here was because of how effective the play action was. And even Aaron Rodgers, who would bellyache about the pre-snap motion, which has its own reason for having it in the offense, would talk about the play action that way. And so that, if they are getting back to a year one approach, as Gabe continues to sleuth about what that means, I think that outside zone has to be a huge part of it. And again, I think Josh Jacobs is talented enough to be productive in any system, and they need to do that more. And if they do, maybe he won't get hit as often before he actually gains positive yardage.
Jason, we really appreciate your insight this morning. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
It's Jason Wilde. Listen to him on Wilde and Tausch right after our show here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. For 70 years, Geis has been the trusted garage authority in Wisconsin. Don't let a busted garage door get you down. Call my friends at Geis today. When our garage door busted, just out of nowhere, out of the blue, Geis was right there to handle it for us. And I believe Gabe had a garage door issue not too long ago. Called our friends at Geis, got it taken care of. For swift and reliable garage repair solutions, go to geisdoors.com. They've got CHI, they've got LiftMaster, doors for every budget. They'll even build you a custom design if that's what you're into. Don't think twice, call Geis, geisdoors.com, G-E-I-S doors.com, G-E-I-S doors.com.